Greetings to the congregation this morning. We also welcome those who are worshiped from home. We are thankful for the peace that we have, the safety. There are many other churches, and because of the resurgence of this pandemic, that they could not meet like us. But we are thankful for this opportunity to worship in person, and also welcome those worshiping from home. The lesson today is the truth will set us free. And the first hymn we saw, we sang that there is no one except Jesus. No one except Jesus. The cross has set us free. Now I live to praise your name. The cross of Jesus is becoming a method to set us free. Now I live to praise his name. Really, when Jesus put himself on the cross, his death has left a symbol, and that symbol is the cross that we see here. However, once we see the cross, every time what do we see? What do we think about his sacrifice for us? It's a story about a ship on the sea, and there is an event happening, and it's about to be going down. And all the captain gather everybody on the ship, saying, "Do you know how to pray? Anybody?" A lot of them shook his head. There's only one. He said, "I know how to pray." So, what do you pray to God for us? And that person, "What do I pray for?" Yeah. And the captain said, "Pray for the Lord to save you, and we will have our life-saving ring." Our faith of a Christian normally being despised, to be mocked, but in reality, our thought of the love of Christ on the cross, is it a truth that can set us free or not? The key verse in John chapter 8, verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, after we commemorate the suffering of Christ, that he has been resurrected from the dead, all of those things left us something in us. Last week we studied about the new life. If Christ has not been raised, your faith and mine, we will have not a new life. And today we will think about if Jesus did not die and raise from the dead, there is no truth that could set us, your and mine, from the death, from the power of suffering and sin that each one of us is in right now. Let's pray to get his word, teach us the truth that can set us free. Ye, our loving Father, we are truly worship you and worship you this morning. We thank the Lord who have given Jesus that could comprehend our weaknesses, could understand that we could not do anything about our sinful condition. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves from that condition. Our Jesus accepted in our place on the cross, received the punishment so we can be forgiven, received the forsaken so that we can be accepted by the Lord. Each time we think about the love of God. When we opportunity to see the symbol of the cross, it's a symbol that you express your love on it. May you remind us to remember the truth that our God has sacrificed himself there so that we can be set free of our sin. We are thankful what you have done and what you continue to do in each and our life. Please teach us your wonderful truth. We lift this hour up to you with our thankful heart. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two verses we read in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. This is the first time we can see that these scriptures expresses the ministry of Jesus very clearly. After Jesus received baptism, he began his ministry, and baptism at the river Jordan. And Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he grew up, the town of Nazareth. And he came to the temple in Nazareth in the day of Sabbath and was reading. And someone gave him Isaiah. He opened up, and there is something written like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Maybe the Jews have heard this many times, reminded of these passages many times. However, in this particular time, when Jesus read these scriptures, and then he gave the scripture back into the next person, he said to him, "Today, this prophet that you have heard has been fulfilled." There is a difference between when Jesus read the scripture with those times that the Jewish have heard it so many times before. Because today, Jesus clarified the truth, that is, all these words have been fulfilled. Why did Jesus say like that? Because Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy of the Bible. We are thankful because when we think about his love many times, maybe we talk about the cross many times, but wishing today we can find something that is wonderful in this word expressed for us. There are 2 points I want to share with you today. The first is that the symbol of the cross. And the second point is that the year of the Jubilee. Let's think about 2 points that Jesus wants to teach us today. And so the word of God will apply to us today. The first point talk about the symbol of the cross. The cross, this is very familiar. What does it have the value for us in our life? We live in the United States. You are familiar with the image that is the Statue of Liberty in New York. We can see those in the stamp or the money bill. And we are familiar with this Statue of Liberty. And that statue, this has a word, the Statue of Liberty enlightening the world. This is a creation by a French architect. His name is Frederick, has made it. And it was the opening ceremony is in 1886, October 26th there. That statue is a gift from the French people gave to the United States. when the United States has formed, there are only 13 colonies there. But those were called the colonies by the English overseas. And in the independent war in 1776, they defeated the George the Third, and they detached themselves to become an independent country with the independent declaration, with the 56 signatures there of those who were leading this country in the early days, that we have been separated from the English government. When they when the American commemorate 100 years, about 1876, then the French people said, if the United States has a symbol of freedom just like the French at that time has the tool of Eiffel, Eiffel Tower. If some like us can have that, that expresses the friendship between the U.S. and the French, and it could be a beautiful symbol for the Americans. That is even the Americans, the United States, and Europe will have a symbol of freedom. So a politician, French politician, he proposed that we try to make a gift for the United States, and they thought maybe a statue to give it to the U.S. And the architect, the French architect, spent his effort when it was proposed 1870. He thought about to make a gift for the U.S. And this architect was thinking maybe a creation of a statue. But what statue would it be? And many years he thought about, until 1765, and this project was started in 1870. They wished that this project could be completed 6 years. 1876 could be completed, and then would bring to the U.S. to commemorate 100 years of gaining independence. However, there are certain proposed projects. There are something happened outside of what they planned. And during that time, there are certain political events. And at that time, the economic of the U.S. is not as strong. So during that year, instead of give the whole statue to the U.S., in 1876, they could only display only the hand holding the torch. And that is what the French was able to do. The head of that statue was still in Paris in 1876. And finally, they try the next 10 years until 1885, then they completed the statue, and the French people brought over this statue, these pieces from France to New York. They asked the U.S. to give this to the U.S., but the U.S. must find a place to buy, to build a foundation for this trip. So the U.S. has built the foundation for it. During that time, they thought New York only have 3,000 for this building a foundation for the statue. That's not enough funding. And there is a New York World Paper call upon the people, 120,000. Well, they gave only just maybe not even a dollar, but most of them could only give a dollar, telling us the economic condition of the U.S. at the time. And finally, they were able to build the foundation for the statue in October 28, 1876. They opened the ceremony to celebrate the statue. The Statue of Liberty was opened. This statue is 46 meters, about 150 feet. Twice as the Eiffel. Some other statue in Italy or Germany. And this foundation of this statue is 47 meters high. That means the height from the ground to the top of the statue is 93 meters. From that time, the statue has been laid there. It became an expression, a symbol of freedom. Talking about the symbol of freedom. We can see the struggling of building something the French would love to do for the U.S. when they were working on this statue. It's a very large effort from how to bring the statue over. And finally, they were able to accomplish this project. In 1876, the technology is not just like what we have today, but they were able to do something very valuable. If we think about the Statue of Liberty that the French has given to the U.S., reminded you and me that 2,000 years ago, God also gave this world its symbol of love, and that is the cross that Jesus has sacrificed himself on. God has to prepare very careful so that we can have the symbol of the cross. But today, when we look at the cross, this cross could, what would it bring to our mind, to our heart? What? Jesus read that, read in the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. What God has done when Jesus received this has been anointed by the Lord. He is the one that God chose to carry out the ministry. And when Jesus came to for his ministry, that God has expressed here that Jesus has brought this world four things that is listed in the verses we read. Isaiah prophet has wrote 700 years ago. So this symbol of the cross has brought the good news to the poor. The second point, proclaim the freedom to the prisoner. Third, recover the sight of the blind. And fourth, set the oppressed free. All these have certain meanings. Now, the symbol of the cross has brought the good news to the poor. When Jesus has his first Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, in chapter 5, verse 5, talk about the eight blessings, and today, many, the pastor see as an independent declaration for the Christian. And in that independent declaration, the first thing that Jesus mentioned is that blessed is he who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belong to those. When Jesus says of the poor, not talking about the poor about not enough money, but Jesus said, blessed are they poor in spirit. To talk about a poor means someone is poor, that is, he has no ability to take care of their need. Those are the truly need of their family, of their children, or their relatives. And that is a poor person. They want to eat. That is a true need. They could not satisfy that need themselves. They want to wear something that's a need, but they couldn't even satisfy that need. They want their children to have an education, but they couldn't take care of that because they are being poor. So Jesus used the poor. In the spirit means that someone who has a spiritual need, but that person could not satisfy that need. This suffering of the spirit, though that is a true need. When God created Adam and Eve, put in the Garden of Eden, every day their life is a blessed life. They are very happy and enjoy. They see the Lord God. God put them there. They don't have to do anything hard. God created all the trees of fruit that grew themselves and their fruit. Although they are there, they can take care of the garden, and it became a joy of Adam and Eve. And whatever they have in that Garden of Eden, from the air to the weather, they don't have to wear clothes because it's not cold or hot. They have everything what they need because God has prepared everything for Adam and Eve in that garden. There is fruit, there is water, there is life. But finally, because of sin, they were shoo away from the garden. Now, they have no joy. Instead of seeing the Lord, they are fearful of the Lord. Instead of to be joyful to their life, so their planting became a curse. You have to work hard to have something to eat. The ground will be dry, very not bear fruit, like in the Garden of Eden. So we see that the condition of sin has caused their life, Adam and Eve, to become very different. It's not like when they were in the first creation. Their needs, to satisfy their needs, they have to suffer to work hard to satisfy that need. The spiritual need between Adam and Eve has been separated. God put a cherubim in the front of Eden, so Adam and Eve could not get back into the garden. There is a separation, so that their life, when we separate it from God, will suffer, will be a suffering life. God has created us. He saw our suffering when our spirit is separated from God. God has brought a gospel. Blessed is those to know the spiritual need. The kingdom of God belongs to them. The Garden of Eden that God prepared is for them. So our issue is today, they are living in their suffering and they call upon God, but their heart is far away from the Lord. Now Jesus came to make a bridge. Jesus, that gap so large between sin, God, and that nature to be restored when Jesus sacrificed God. Something event had happened while Jesus was on the cross. The curtain between the holy and the most holy, the temple, has been separated. It expresses the separation of the people from the most holy place in that temple. The presence of the Lord is in the holy place. Outside, only the priest can come into the holy place. The people, way far away, nobody can come into the holy in the temple. There is a separation that even the holy, they could not come into it. The priest, the chief priest, once a year can come into the most holy place to anoint the Ark of the Covenant. And if that person could do something wrong, that person will receive death. And it happened, the two sons of Aaron in the Old Testament, when they dedicated a fire that is not authorized, dear congregation, that curtain has been separated in two, and God has done that. This is not human effort to come. It is God's action to bring us close to Him. So the curtain has been separated from tops and bottom. The gap has been destroyed. The way has been established through Jesus Christ because of the cross. The gospel of Christ has been those know that you need a spiritual fulfillment. So that symbol of the cross has brought gospel. If we receive that, accepted that, Jesus is blessed of those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. That's a promise for us. The second point, that the one who is in prison will be set free. That person no longer has freedom. He lost that freedom as a prisoner. He was captured in a four room that has no freedom inside that prison wall. When God created us, He created according to His image. So in each of us, God gave us freedom. He created with the image like Him. He created an animal. He could, that animal only knows a particular natural law. For example, that animal must eat certain food, how he would live, where he would, the animal live. God gave the instinct, the animal instinct, to carry out the life of an animal. God created us very different. Give us the freedom in the Garden of Eden. And God is speaking, there they can go and do whatever they want, very free, because they are created in the image of God. But when Satan tempted them to sin, then Satan has put our human into a prison. That prison is death. God created Adam and Eve. Has no death when God created Adam and Eve. He put his spirit into the nostril of Adam and Eve so that they become a living forever with the Lord. And that's how God created us. But then Satan has put Adam and Eve in a prison of death. And from that point on, everyone who was born underneath will also be in prison. We were born under Adam, the descendant of Adam and Eve, to set us free from that prison. And John wrote in 1 John 3:8, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The purpose when Jesus came is for to destroy what Satan has done. The fact that we are in prison is by Satan in Ephesians 2:26. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put death their hostility. We have been imprisoned by death. We've been set free by the cross that Christ sacrificed for us. It was a really evil symbol. But when God, Christ came with sacrifice, it became a symbol of goodness. The death wall has been destroyed by one act that Jesus has put himself in place of our death. And from there, he was resurrected. And that's the method that God has freed us from sin. He had to come in the place, the prison. But God has raised from the dead to come out. And Jesus said, because I live, you will also live. So That law of death has been destroyed. Now, all those who are imprisoned back can also be set free, and will have freedom again when we accept the cross. And because of the cross, the human race truly received freedom in Jesus Christ. Do we have the freedom in Christ right now or not? Jesus has done his part, but the prisoners must be set free. The third point that Jesus has done, that is, the blind has been restored to sight. A blind person, that's someone who have the eyes, but that eye could not be used any longer, but does not bring any effectiveness from the eyes. When God created us, he gave us a pair of eyes so we can see and enjoy the creation that God has made. However, the scriptures told us, when we look at the two apostles, when Christ has been raised from, the two apostles were so sad walking on the road to Emmaus because they thought their rabbi has died. It's truly dead. And they left Jerusalem. They walked toward on the route to Emmaus. We don't know why they did it that way, but on the way, they talk about the death of Jesus with each other, and their heart is suffering. They were so sad. They lost hope. And all of a sudden, Jesus raised from the dead. He appeared with them, walking with them, but the scripture said their eyes were covered, and they did not recognize Jesus. The congregation, this is something dangerous. A person who have the eyes that could not see, and that is a blindness from ignorance, and that is something unfortunate. But someone already seen, now their eyes has been covered, they could not see, and that unfortunate is even more unfortunate than somebody who could not see from when he was born. The scripture said two have seen the Jesus before, but now there is something that covered their eyes that did not recognize Jesus with them on the way. And Luke chapter 24, the mind is dark. That mind has been darkened, and they could not recognize Jesus. In John chapter 9, show us a blind person from birth. And apostle said, dear Jesus, that blind person, is it because of his sin or because of the sins of his parents? Which one was it? Jesus answered, not because of sin or the sin of the parents, but this blind person, so that God can be glorified. And then Jesus restored the sight of that blind. They were surprised because this is a blind person. Now they can see. He can see. They talk to the parents. Is this your son? Why did he get seen? My parents, you ask him. He's old enough to answer you. So I could ascertain that when we know that when we give birth to him, he was born, and we could not understand why his sight is restored. They asked this person, there is someone named Jesus has healed you. Do you want to be healed like me, like Jesus? They were angry. The people surround him angry. They thought Jesus has no authority. They thought Jesus is just to come to make chaos to the Jewish religion. But now Jesus can restore the blind person. And that is a truth that they could not deny. And afterward, Jesus saw that blind person. Jesus, do you believe in the Son of God? And who is the Son of God that I believe, Jesus? You are talking to him. And now Jesus give this my birthday a truth. I come to make the blind see. And those thought that he could see will become blind. The Pharisee of those who they find want to trap Jesus, to condemn Jesus, have proof that you say that you are talking about us, the Pharisee being blind. Jesus gave a final conclusion. If you are blind, then that's fine. But if you, because you saw not, you said that you could see, but you're still blind, that's why your sin still remains in you. The blind, that because of his sin or his parents' sin, now he would, because his sinful condition has been resolved. But if we thought that we've been sinned, your sin is still with you. If we think that our sin has been opened our eyes. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. But if you and I could not see because we thought we have a clear eye, so we continue to be blind and our sin remains with us. What Jesus has done to help a blind person to see, that means somebody recognizes their eyes has been covered, recognize himself that the ability to see is lost. When we recognize that, Jesus will open the eyes of that person. Jesus came to help that does not understand God will understand about God. Jesus came to help those who does not know the glory of God will see the glory of God. Jesus came to make whoever doesn't know about everlasting life will see where we are, will be in the everlasting life, because the cross of Christ is to, for those blind to have restored their sight. Do we recognize that we are blind? If we recognize that we are blind, that we do not understand completely, we know that we could not see the glory of God yet. We recognize our blindness because we know very little about Jesus. The blind will be open. The eyes of the blind will be open. If we thought we are clear-eyed and the symbol of the cross could not save us. The fourth point, Jesus said the truth. Jesus set the oppressed free. Somebody who oppressed is very different from someone in prison. A prison who has no freedom. But the oppressed is someone has some freedom, can go from place to place, but there is a limitation. There is darkness to abuse that person, that oppress that person, then make that person suffer. So the freedom that he has right now, the oppressor is not complete. The darkness of sin that Satan has put on that, the oppressed onto the world. Paul, when he wrote the Romans, he said, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. The evil is something that is oppressing on Paul's life. That evil is oppressing on us too, because when I want to do good, the evil will still be around me. There is some oppression in our life by the influence of sin that the devil is bringing upon us. And from Adam, when he fell from grace, the power of sin continues to oppress the human race, because all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Thanks be to God. He has a way out for us to resolve our issue. Now, Isaiah said in 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is how God resolved all our sins. or put on laid on the Son of God when God said, God nailed Christ to the cross. That means the nailing of the cross by Jesus resolved all sinful conditions, whether small or large. All sin of our sin has been put on His Son, and then God nailed His Son to the cross. Now, our part, how do we, or the oppressed one, under sin, who connected to Jesus in His death, that person is being nailed to the cross with Christ. So, the way for us to set free from the oppression of Satan and evil is to connect with Christ on the cross. So, Paul said, I die each day, and Paul said, I nail with the cross with Christ. Now, I do not live, but Christ lives in me. And that's the way for you and me to have the new life. For you and me to receive the truth, and the truth will set us free. And because of the cross, someone who are being oppressed by sin will be released. We have been released from sin. When we think what Jesus has talked about, the 4 points, the symbol of the cross, the gospel is to those who are poor in spirit. He set us free, those who are in prison like us. He opened the eyes of the blind as we have been blind. Blind because we have been blind by sin. Blind of His word. He brought us see, set us free because of oppression of sin. What we have received in those 4 points. The second point is that Jesus is bringing the symbol of the Jubilee year. Jesus read in the scripture, in the temple, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When the Jewish read this portion, they understood what God meant. And today, we do not understand this portion of scripture. Jesus has brought the human race in the year of the era, a new era, the era of peace, the year of the Lord, when Christ sacrificed Himself on the cross. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 to 13, talk about a year that the Jewish say the year of the Jubilee. It's a celebration. It's called the Year of Jubilee. The commandment that God gave to the Israelites, that when they came into the promised land, the Canaan, it became a very fertile ground. You will make living for 6 years. On the seventh year, you have to let the ground rest. That seventh year is the Sabbath year. They could not find anything during that. The sixth year, God will give them enough to eat. But on the seventh year, they do nothing. They let the ground rest. And that's the way God commanded the Israelites. And every seventh year, after seven cycle, that means 49 years, there will be 1 year, the 50th year, they will let the ground rest again. And that year is called the Jubilee year. In the other seven, they just let the ground rest. So that the ground can restore its life. But in the 50th year, God gave one more. In that year, who has that property will be restored. We were, some of the people would loan them the land away, but now they will receive their property again. So, in that particular year, and that year they will receive their property again. So we see that not only have the ground to be fertile and bring, God also concerned with those who lost their property, the poor. The Jubilee year, they will receive their property again. And they have to keep His commandment, the congregation. This letter says Jesus gave us something. Jesus came to declare the Jubilee year for the human race. What does Satan has robbed from us, that Jesus came to restore a new era, the Jubilee year, so that the human race can receive what he was robbed by Satan. So only the people to receive the gospel that God in Christ, and that person can be restored what he has lost before. God, because of his death of his son on the cross, to have brought the human race closer to him, gave the gospel for the poor, the prisoner will set free, the blind will see, and the oppressed will also set free. But from that point on, all who have lost the attributes what God has given can be restored again. This is a wonderful gospel. Jesus came to restore the Jubilee year for you and me. Do we receive it or not? What Christ has done for us. There's a story of a doctor named Maxwell. This is a plastic surgeon, cosmetic surgery. He told a true story like this. There's a couple living with their parents or the husband in the house. One day, that for no reason was on fire. And the parents were still in the house while it was burning. And somebody found out and he hurriedly back to save the parents. He did everything because the fire was so large. He could not save his parents. And the parents died in that. And his face has been burned with so hot. And after this strategy spread, he was very angry at God. Why did God let it happen to him like this? With his could not save his parents, and his face now became very bad looking because of the red burn. He could not communicate. He does not want to be close to anyone. He did not want to see. So he bore himself in a room, did not talk to anyone. He closed himself out inside room. And one day, a wife met Dr. Maxwell Moore. Dear, my husband has a friend. Could you restore his face for my husband? And the doctor said, I think I can do it. With my ability, I can do it. And the wife said, so, dear, can you come and tell? He has this, I could not see him, I could not talk to him. He shut himself in. Maxwell said, I am a cosmetic surgeon. I have the ability to restore your face. But doesn't matter. He just keep quiet. He has no response. With the ability of this doctor to restore his face. Many efforts, many times. And so, doctor gave up. One day, the wife came into the office of Dr. Tissa. So, what are you doing here? I have done my effort. I could not do anything else. And the wife said, dear Doctor, can you help me one more thing? What do you want me to help you with? Dear doctor, can you destroy my face so and I can become just like my husband? So I can be close to my husband. And it was a shocking request. He could not do it. How could he do it to this man? And he came to this husband and knocked and talked to the husband. I am Dr. Maxwell, the cosmetic surgeon, the one who could restore your face. Come out. Come out. Just come to my office. I guarantee I can restore your face. But there is no sign of response. And finally, the doctor said, your wife has come to my asking me, can you destroy my face? Your wife asked me to, so that I can, because do you want that to happen to your wife? Only I'm thinking the door opened. The husband understands his, the love of his wife. Before he thought that we were so ugly, it's not worthy of his wife. He did not want to come out at all. But now, the wife said, I am ready to destroy my face so that I can be with you. Then, and touch him. Touch his heart. Dear communicate. What do we think of this? What did God do for us? He has become just like us, to be in the body like us. He has been tempted to become just like us, to comprehend our suffering, to comprehend and sympathize with our sinful condition. He could save us. Many times, you and I can understand each other's problem, but our sympathizers could not save us. 10 days ago, I was being hurt with my foot, and my wife's mouth is has some sore inside, and at night it's very difficult. She said, "Oh, are you hurting? Really bad? I just only put some oil on there." But we could not comprehend each other. I couldn't understand how cold she felt at night. I could want to share, and my back is hurt. My wife wants to share my pain, but how? We know each other's problems, but we could not share each other's burden because we cannot become the other person. Last week, I received a new. Mr. Hines' mother has passed away in Westminster. We feel the sadness for that brother who has lost his mother, but our sympathy is not enough. In the last week, I felt many familiar with me. I have a friend of my children in Vietnam, living in Singapore. Firstborn has a brain condition, and 12 years living in the particular condition with a son like that. And 2 months ago, I heard that. That person told me, my son has passed away. When I read that, I cried. Because he is like my son. But my felt, though I cried, maybe is not one someone who can just share that grief, because that's the parents of the person who son has passed away. We could not comprehend. Though that couple could be counted as my son. And then the last week there's a shocking news. And the parents of Jamal and Destiny has passed away due to COVID. But in conclusion, our grief could not those who are very closest to the person. We know each other's problem, but we could not comprehend the suffering. But we give thanks to the God. We have somebody who became just like us to comprehend our suffering because of that. Jesus declared the Jubilee year for the human race. Our Jesus has become just like us, except the forsakenness of God. So we can be accepted by God, accepted the shame to be glorified by God in ourselves. Our Jesus has accepted all of that so that, but how about us? What do we receive from Christ after Christ has done all of that for us? May God bless each one of you with the word of God. We reread our key verse in John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we do not understand the gospel that we have received, we will not be set free. Only when we receive the work of Christ in us, that we are poor in spirit, needing to be healed and be restored. When we suffer imprisoned by sin, when we are blind and their sight has been restored, as someone to be oppressed by sin, the darkness is still in us, in our lives, in all of our activities. If we know what we are facing, recognize that only there is one truth, only one power can set us free. That is Jesus Christ. And then we will receive that truth, and that truth will set us free. Let's all stand. Let's all read one more time the key verse. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Dear our loving Jesus, we thank you because you carried the cross and set us free. You have blessed the poor in spirit to know the kingdom of God. You have set the prisoner free, death in Satan, to receive life and life everlasting. You can open the eyes of the blind to see the glory of God, the glory of the everlasting life. And you have opened the oppression of those who are being oppressed under sin. Thank you for doing that all of us. And you give us the Jubilee year. You declare all of that so that we can receive that we have been lost to restore what God has wanted us to. Let us come to you, Lord. Not just a religious activity. Not to come on Sunday, return, and return to our sinful life again. To be under oppression of sin and satisfy our own desire. May we actually become to be restored, to return the freedom in Christ Jesus, the life in Jesus Christ, the glory in Jesus Christ. And we will receive all this blessing from now on when we connect with your life-giving Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you have done. Right now, we still have opportunity. May we take this opportunity seriously. We lift up our church into your care into your hand. May you have mercy on us. Carry our life each day. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.